He leaned deep into the trunk. Sandy almost expected him to jerk forward as if something was pulling him, Kurt Wilcox's idea of a knee slapper. Perhaps he thought of it, but in the end, he knew better. He simply got Matt Babicki's window box and pulled it out. He turned and held it up so Sandy and Dickie could see. The flowers looked fine and blooming. They were dead a couple of days later, but there was nothing very supernatural about that. They had been frozen in the trunk of the car, as surely as they would have been if Curtis had put them in the freezer for a while. "Are you done yet?" Sandy was even starting to sound like old Gammer Dearborn to himself, but he couldn't help it. "Yeah, guess so." Curtis sounding disappointed. Sandy jumped when he slammed the Buick's trunk lid back down, and Dickie's fingers tightened on the back of his pants. Sandy had an idea old Dickie Duck had come pretty close to yanking him right out of the doorway and onto his ass in the parking lot. Kurt, meantime, walked slowly toward them with the frog cage, the sneaker box, and the window box stacked up in his arms. Sandy kept coiling up the rope as he came so Kurt wouldn't trip over it. When they were all outside again, Dickie took the cage and looked wonderingly at the blind bullfrog.
"That beats everything," he said.
Kurt slipped out of the loop around his waist, then knelt on the macadam and opened the shoebox. Four or five other troopers had gathered around by then. The crickets hopped out almost as soon as Kurt took the lid off the box, but not before both Curtis and Sandy had a chance to take attendance. 8. The number of cylinders in yonder Buick's useless engine. 8. The same number of crickets that had gone in. Kurt looked disgusted and disappointed. "Nothing," he said. "In the end, that's what it always comes to. If there's a formula, some binomial theorem or quadratic equation or something like that, I don't see it." "Then maybe you better give it a pass," Sandy said. Kurt lowered his head and watched the crickets go hopping across the parking lot, widening out from each other, going their separate ways. And no equation or theorem ever invented by any mathematician who ever breathed could predict where any single one of them might end up. They were chaos theory hopping. The goggles were still hung around Kurt's neck on their elastic strap. He fingered them for a few moments, then glanced at Sandy. His mouth was set. The disappointed look had gone out of his eyes. The other one, the half-crazed, let's play bingo until the money's all gone look, had come back to take its place. "Don't think I'm ready to do that," he said. "There must be." Sandy gave him a chance, and when Curtis didn't finish, he asked, "There must be what?" But Curtis only shook his head as if he could not say, or would not.